Nuketown Radioactive number 69 for Tuesday, July 1st, 2008. On this edition of Nuketown Radioactive, I try and figure out the art of relaxing by taking some time to go camping on an island, painting some miniatures for my Dungeons & Dragons game, hanging out at a few baseball games, trying my hand at another round of home improvement, and finally getting to that big list of books that I've been meaning to read for the last, 2, 3 years. Nuketown Radioactive. I'm your host, Ken Newquist, and this is the podcast dedicated to life, liberty, and the pursuit of geekdom. And I'll just tag on to that, the art of relaxation, because that is my goal for this summer. And so far, I haven't quite achieved it yet. I'm still trying to figure out what the hell I'm doing, but I have actually had a chance to do some nice actual relaxation. I started off June by going to a conference in Tacoma to talk about Moodle, which is a courseware system that we use at the college where I work. And it was really nice. I mean, the conference itself was good. I presented on two topics, which was nice. It's always good when you're able to learn something during your own sessions. And I was able to do that in both sessions that I spoke on. And it was also just a really nice town. There was really good food in Tacoma. Went out with some friends for a wine tasting. I guess it was like on Thursday night. And generally just really had a blast. I went to there's a glass museum in Tacoma, which was really spectacular. I kind of did the speed tour of it because we only had about a half an hour before it closed. But it was really, really nice, and probably one of the more relaxing kind of trips that I've been on. I actually went out the day before the conference began, got there, was able to kind of throw together my presentations with the folks I was going to be, well, presenting with, and, just had a nicer, slower pace to it. It was kind of hell going to the West Coast. I'm sure it's hell for anybody who has to make that time zone shift, but, you know, losing those 3 hours really just messes with your head when you get out there. And, you know, you end up waking up at like 5 o'clock in the morning going, yoo-hoo, time to go. And then, you know, at 5 o'clock at night, you're like, all right, well, I think I'm ready to go to bed now. But in any case, it was a really good trip and I had a lot of fun on it. And even though it was for work, it still was fairly relaxing. Now, the other big thing that I just did, which kind of factors into this whole relaxing thing, was spend a week on an island. Okay, not quite a week. It was 5 days. But it was on an island, and it was in Lake Champlain. We went up to visit our friends who have a cabin on an island in the lake. On the lake? I keep balancing this back and forth. Is it in a lake? Is an island in a lake or on a lake? I'm going to say on a lake. In any case, the idea was we would go and hang out on this island for 5 days. And it was, I don't know that I could say that it was relaxing, but I can say that it was a lot of fun. To give you a little idea of exactly what was going on here, the island is only reachable by boat, as in like one of those metal aluminum. Is it aluminum? I'm assuming aluminum. In any case, one of those kind of fishing boats with an outboard motor kind of thing. So that's how you get to the island. It takes about 20, 30 minutes to actually get to the island. And once you're there, although there was a cabin, the cabin didn't have electricity, running water, indoor plumbing, that sort of thing. So, you know, we actually had to use an outhouse, which had a composting toilet to it. If you needed to use the bathroom, you had to run outside and dodge the bats, which I encountered on two of the nights that we were there. And, you're pretty much away from civilization. There weren't anybody else on the island. We ran into a few people because they do have neighbors who have cabins as well. But there really weren't a lot of people there while we were there, which was nice as well. So we went there with our respective families. So the folks that we were staying with have twin boys who are a little over 2 years old. And then we had Sue and myself, plus our daughter Jordan, who's 5, and our own son Luke, who is also 2, just turned 2 actually on June 14th. So it was just a little bit crazy, a little bit, a lot fun, and a little bit relaxing. I was able to actually spend some time reading, which when I go on vacation, that's pretty much what I love to do. I mean, my ideal vacation is to go to the beach and spend pretty much the entire time reading books. I will occasionally put down my books to hang out with other people and to surface for food and that kind of stuff. But, you know, if I can go to the beach and read like 3-4 books, that is mission accomplished for me. That is just really what I love to do. And honestly, going on this vacation, I figured that I wouldn't really have that many opportunities to do that because we have 3 2-year-olds on an island at a cabin that's like 100 feet from the water, something like that. So we were all having this kind of persistent state of paranoia, making sure we knew where the boys were at all times, you know. So if you didn't have line of sight to one of them, you would immediately start calling out, "Hey, have you seen Ben? Have you seen Luke?" Whatever. So that kind of raised the stakes a little bit on the vacation. But on the plus side, I was able to actually do a lot of reading. I was able to finish one of the books that I have on my summer reading list, which I'll get to in a little bit. And prior to going to the island, we actually hung out with my sister for 2 days in New Hampshire, and I was able to read another book there. And I got to see one of my childhood friends in Vermont on the way up to Lake Champlain. So all in all, it was really good. I even got to do a little bit of a geeky home improvement. Those of you who follow me on Twitter will know of my exploits with this geek house. Well, I got to work on an outhouse, and I got to learn to use a nail gun, which I had never used before. I also discovered that somehow over the last 2 to 3 years of doing home improvements and stuff, I actually know how to hammer. Prior to the last couple of years, when I hit a nail, there was a pretty good chance it was just going to go sideways. But working on repairing the outhouse, I was able to drive in nail after nail, and I think I only busted like maybe 2 nails out of like 30 or 40. And for me, that's actually pretty good. And I don't think I hit my thumb at all, which was even more impressive. So that was pretty nifty. Now you're asking, well, Ken, how can you have a nail gun on an island with no electricity? Well, we had some electricity. We actually had a generator that was a cabin warming gift for our hosts. And we were able to use that to power our power tools like the skill saw and that sort of thing. But for the most part, no power, folks. That means that there was no laptop on this island. There was no internet on this island. There was cell service, but considering I just have a very simple cell phone, although I dream of an iPhone, I didn't have any real connection to the outside. So, you know, for me, that was 5 days without email, 5 days without Twitter, 5 days without, just about all the stuff that I normally do to geek out. And, seems a lot longer now that I think about it. But all in all, it was a really good vacation, and I would definitely do it again. You know, it's one of those things where it's nice to be able to downshift out of kind of like the always on, always connected geek lifestyle for a while and just spend some time hanging out with the family and, of course, reading books. Now, in terms of relaxing for the rest of the summer and trying to balance the craziness at work with the craziness at home and just trying to not completely burn out over the course of the summer, I have a couple other things in mind. One thing that I want to do is order some miniatures. I'm not exactly sure what I'm going to get, except I know I'm going to have two. I'm going to get one for Tom Silverbow, which is my half-elf bard from our Dark City campaign for Dungeons & Dragons. And I'll probably get one for Kull, which is my dwarven barbarian for our Kellismar dwarven campaign, which is currently on hiatus, but come back eventually, I'm sure. And maybe a couple of villainish type things to use for the Plane Torn campaign that I'm doing for Dungeons & Dragons 4th edition. And that's what I'm thinking about doing. Miniatures force you to kind of like disconnect and focus specifically on that task. It's not something I find that I can do while I'm like watching TV. Certainly I can listen to podcasts and such while I'm doing it, but it's just a change of pace, you know? It forces your brain to downshift, and I think those are the kinds of things that I'm looking to do. I'm going to be going to a Mets game, I think on July 9th, which will be just completely fantastic, honestly. I haven't been to a Mets game in years. This is the first Mets game I've gone to at night at Shea Stadium, and this is the last year for Shea, so it's just going to be awesome. I also promised to take my dad to a Iron Pigs game, which is the AAA Phillies affiliate in the Lehigh Valley, and I just have to go out and buy the tickets for that. So that should also be a nice, relaxing day away from reality. Also might be dabbling in a little bit of home improvement. I have to sit down and talk with Sue and figure out when we can do this. But the third floor gaming room needs to be redone. There's some peeling paint on the ceiling that needs to be stripped out, and new coats of paint, which actually have in their paint buckets on the third floor. You know, the new coat of paint needs to be put down. And actually, having been to the island made me start thinking about, well, you know, what could I build for the third floor that might make managing my books and such a little bit easier? I have a lot of role-playing game supplements. I've almost filled up the bookshelf that we have. Well, I should change that. I have filled up the bookshelf that I have. And I'm thinking that it would be nice to come up with something to maybe fill in this one little cubby hole we have by one of the windows. I don't know. I need to sit down and kind of do some sketches and see what I can come up with. So definitely home improvement if I can squeeze it in. I'm not quite sure what weekends I'll be able to do that. And honestly, you know, I also have to keep in mind Sue's sanity because she's got a pretty busy summer too. And, you know, me spending a weekend painting the third floor, well, not tremendous excitement for me, means that she has to spend that time watching the kids by herself, which, if you have young children, you know that that can drive you a little wonky. I guess, you know, when it comes down to it with home improvement, I have found over the years that it is actually somewhat relaxing. Just because, again, you know, I can sit there and I can just work on the project, listen to my podcasts, and, well, not quite relax, but not quite work myself up into a frenzy either. Now, I'm also hoping to get in a few movies this summer. There's actually a lot of good stuff out there, including Iron Man, Incredible Hulk, Indiana Jones and the Kingdom of the Crystal Skull. Let's see, The Dark Knight, Hellboy 2, all kinds of stuff that I would really rather see in the theater rather than wait for it to come out on DVD. But, you know, these are the kinds of things that we need to figure out, because that's another one of those compromise things, right? Because although I would love to go and see all these movies, I don't know that I necessarily have the time to go and see them. But I have been thinking that, you know, maybe if I go to some of the late showings, like 9, 10 o'clock after the kids are already in bed, that might be a little bit more doable and get me that geek out movie time rather than trying to squeeze it in on a Saturday afternoon or something like that. But we'll see how that works out. My real big geek accomplishment this summer, however, will be my summer reading list.
The President of the United States is dead. He was murdered in the morning sunlight by a 4-year-old boy. So began J.C. Hutchins' Seven Son audiobook trilogy, the most popular podcast novel series in history. Last December, the trilogy concluded. The heroes were triumphant, or so we think. But now, it's time to go back and reveal moments in the Seventh Son story that were merely hinted at in the original trilogy. Welcome to Seventh Son Obsidian. J.C. Hutchins has opened up his Seventh Son universe and invited the seven biggest names in podcast fiction to chronicle a nationwide blackout that rocked America during the Seventh Son trilogy. Seventh Son Obsidian features short stories from these award-winning and nominated authors: Michael A. Stackpole, Scott Sigler, T. Morris, Mer Lafferty, Matt Wallace, Mark Yoshimoto Nemkov, and Christiana Ellis. And even more tales from these trailblazing podcast entertainers: Evo Terra, Dan Klass, Wichita Rutherford, George Prob, TD0013, Soccer Girl, and the cast of the Radio Adventures of Dr. Floyd. Obsidian also features dozens of audio and video recordings, stories of the blackout as told by its victims, created by Seventh Son fans across the globe. On May 31st, the lights go out. America becomes a police state. Because when the power fails, chaos reigns. Subscribe now to Seventh Son Obsidian or catch up with the original Seventh Son trilogy experience at jchutchins.net.
So, longtime listeners to Nuketown Radioactive and readers of the website know that, well, summer reading lists are pretty much a tradition for me. I do this almost every summer, and I usually do a pretty good job of it, too. I think last summer I managed to get about 3/4 of the way through my list, and that actually brings up the reason why I'm doing it this summer. Or rather, my method for doing it this summer. Because, well, you see, I have a lot of books that I never got quite around to reading or finishing or whatever, including some of the books from last summer's reading list, such as John Varley's The Golden Globe, in which humans get kicked off Earth by aliens and are forced to live at the edge of the solar system, and one of said humans, who's kind of like an actor slash con artist, gets caught up in some, I don't know, political scheme, whatever. I bought the book last summer, meaning to read it, but just never got around to it. It also includes books like Robert E. Howard's The Bloody Crown of Conan, which is actually a collection of three Conan novellas. Another book by Howard, The Moon of Skulls, which is a collection of his weird tales. Let's see, what else do we have here? Neal Stephenson's Quicksilver, which features adventures in science during the Age of Enlightenment. These are all books that I either started or meant to read or whatever, but just never got around to. So rather than just letting them sit there, accumulate dust, and you know, make me feel a little bit guilty when I go out and buy some new books, I decided this summer I'm actually going to read these things. Another book that actually is on the list is Wizard's First Rule by Terry Goodkind, which, you know, I think that's another book I got last summer that I meant to read and just never got around to. Now, I'm not being completely pure in this list. I am buying a few new books. John Scalzi's The Last Colony is coming out in paperback in July, and I'm planning on picking that up. That was actually on last summer's reading list as well. I just never ended up buying the book. Let's see. Ursula Le Guin's The Lathe of Heaven is a book about a man whose dreams can reshape reality. It's a science fiction classic. Always kind of meant to read it, never got around to it. Got a review copy for Nuketown, so I figured, hey, this would be a good time to read it. Let's see. Philip Pullman's The Subtle Knife, which features a young girl exploring alternative realities and trying to evade her world's religious dictators. It's the sequel to The Golden Compass. And let's see, what else? I know there was one or two other books that I was planning on picking up during the summer, if I have time. Basically, it's a pretty good list. I think it's dominated by fantasy titles, but there's a little bit of science fiction thrown in there as well. And I think that by the time I get through this list, I'm probably going to want to go bilge on... Bilge? No. That's not the right word. Anyway, I think I'm going to go feast on some good science fiction after I get through all this fantasy. Now you may say to yourself, Ken, this is an awful lot of books, but I gotta say, I'm actually making some good progress on it. I was able to finish The Lathe of Heaven and Wizard's First Rule and The Subtle Knife. I'm about, well, I'm not even going to get into Fractions on the Golden Globe because I'm only about 50 pages into it, but I am about 50 pages into the Golden Globe. I don't know. I really like Steel Beach, but the Golden Globe has just taken me a little bit of time to get into. And I think it's one of those books where I just need to kind of sit down for 2 hours and pound out 100 pages and just get into it. Because again, I've read really good reviews of the book, but just haven't delved that far. I think almost all of these books that I'm reading this summer are going to be like that, where I just kind of need to get through the point where I got hung up previously. And it's the same deal with The Bloody Crown of Conan or Moon of Skulls. You know, I started picking it up and reading through some of the short stories, but just, you know, they didn't catch me right away, or I got distracted by something else. So this summer, it's all about the focus. Now, there's a couple of other books sitting on my shelf that I probably should read. The Hard Science Fiction Renaissance is one of them, and it might provide a nice alternative to all this fantasy stuff. I think there might be one or two other books up there that I need to just pull down and read. But, you know, I think I can do this. I think I can really get through all these books. It helps that I have at least one more trip coming up this summer. I'm going to be going out to Kenyon College in July for a Hack Doc Fest, where we'll be working on Moodle, coming up with code patches and new modules, stuff like that. So on the flight out and back, I should have some time to read, as well as, you know, at night, after we're done hacking, I'll have some time to, to kick back, relax, and hopefully read a little bit. And the most important thing is that since it's going to be in Ohio, I won't have the whole time zone shift to mess with my head. On the audiobook front, I do have a couple of books that I want to listen to. For one, I'm going to be listening to J.C. Hutchins' Seventh Son trilogy. Probably about halfway through the first book right now. I've been listening to it on my commute to work, so that gives me about half an hour a day to listen to the book. And so far, I'm really enjoying it. I mean, it's really my kind of book. It's got... you know, action, suspense, that kind of thing, but the speculative angle with the clones worked in. So it's been on my to-do list for a while, and I'm finally getting to it. I also am hoping to get to Obsidian once I get through Seventh Son, but I don't want to listen to JC's new effort until I get to finish up his old stuff. I also have Orson Scott Card's Shadow of the Giant, which is the last of the Ender's Game prequel books that he released that tell the story of what happens on Earth after Ender's Game finishes. So basically all the other students who are at battle school, what happens to them. So this has been sitting on my iPod since, oh my God, I think about 2 years. So I'd like to finish that one up. And if I have time, all these are kind of lengthy books and I don't listen to a lot of fiction now. But the last book I'd really like to finish up is The Far Side of the World, which is a Jack Aubrey book about a British captain during the 1800s and his battles with the nefarious French and the Americans. So I have my work cut out for me, but honestly, I think I can really get through all of this. And so far, I've really been enjoying it. I mean, some of these books are a challenge to kind of get through, but all of them have redeeming qualities. And, you know, time spent reading is time not spent working. And ultimately, that feeds into my larger goal for the whole summer. I'd love to know what's on your summer reading list, so drop me a line. You can send me an email at nuketown@gmail.com. You can also post a comment on the show notes on nuketown.com. You don't need an account anymore. You can just drop by and fill out the form, and boom, you got a comment on the site.
Managers, do you have problems with workers coming in late, leaving early, and taking too long of a lunch break? Let's face it, employees these days are not hardworking. They're too busy checking email, reading blogs, chatting with their new friend in Sweden, who's really a hairy guy from Duluth, or, God forbid, listening to podcasts, to be of any real use to you. This is where Zombink can help you. We are, among other things, a zombie placement service that will supply you with workers that will work tirelessly around the clock. They don't need breaks. They don't need Social Security. And if there's a workplace accident, there's none of that pesky short-term disability or lawsuits. Simply return the damaged zombie to us, and you'll be supplied with a new one. Think of Zombink when you see that lifeless, uninterested look in your living employee's eyes. At least with zombies, that lifeless, uninterested look will be on the face of a hard worker. Zombink can supply you with workers for construction, farming, security, janitorial services, and web design. And we're adding new services every month. Please visit our website at zombink.net to order your own service today. Clients of Zombink are responsible for the well-being of their human employees, customers, and visitors. Employ zombies at your own risk. All mutilations, dismemberments, death, or the transfer of the zombie curse to the responsibility of the client, not Zombink. You're hiring zombies. What do you expect?
That'll do it for this edition of Nuketown Radioactive. A bit on the short side, I know, and no netheads this time around, but I really just wanted to get another podcast out before too much time went by. I'm always looking for feedback on the show. As I mentioned earlier, you can email me at nuketown@gmail.com. You can follow me on Twitter at username nukehavoc. You can find me on Facebook. You can find me on MySpace. Links to all this good stuff is in the show notes at www.nuketown.com.